This episode of Invest Like a Boss is brought to you in part by MasterClass. Now, you're probably listening to this podcast because you want to learn something about investing and you want to learn a new skill. Well, there's other skills beyond investing. In fact, you can learn pretty much everything on MasterClass. So I've been on a kick probably due to the pandemic when that all started. I really got into cooking and I got to say I'm pretty good right now, but I'm not as good as Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay has a MasterClass series. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. He yells a lot on TV, but maybe I could use a good yelling. Well, the Gordon Ramsay on MasterClass is very different. He's actually a really nice guy. And he helped me create amazing food. Something so simple as an egg. You didn't realize how many different ways there are to cook it and how many better ways there are to cook it. Well, Gordon Ramsay knows how to do all that. And I even made his Michelin star winning lobster ravioli. And it was fantastic. It was super easy to do. I did it all with MasterClass. You can stream it right on your phone or you can send it over to your smart TV. All kinds of different ways to check out your MasterClass or even just on the audio only version if you prefer as well. They have over 180 instructors on here and like huge names that you've definitely heard of. Maybe you want to get a little bit funnier. Steve Martin's got a class on there, or you're into F1 racing. Lewis Hamilton has a class. Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson if you want to get your science on. Anna Wintour, Kris Jenner if you want to do your fashion, maybe your personal branding. There's something for everyone on there. So this fall, learn from the best and become your best with MasterClass. You can boost your confidence and find practical takeaways you can apply to your life and also at work. If you own a business or a team leader, you can use MasterClass to empower and create future-ready employees and leaders. And right now, because you are an Invest Like a Boss listener, you'll get an additional 15% off an annual membership at MasterClass.com/iLab. You do have to go to that site to get your discount. So get 15% off right now at MasterClass.com/iLab. That's MasterClass.com/ILAB.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
I'm Derek Spartz.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
What's up, bosses? This is Johnny, and welcome to episode 284 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I'm here with Derek Spartz, and I'm drinking something that I haven't touched in over a decade. Derek, what was it?
I haven't touched it over in a decade because I think it's disgusting, but Johnny found himself a Dr. Pepper that's cherry flavored.
It's so good. I don't like Dr. Pepper, and I haven't had anything like this in like literally like maybe 20 years, but I just found it in my fridge and it's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't drank like an actual like soda in so long. I think the last time I did, it just tasted like a whole can of sugar. And I'm like, I used to drink like multiple, like five of these a day. I don't know how I did it when I was like a kid.
Well, I think this has been sitting in my fridge for months, but I'm moving out next week and I need to eat everything in my house.
Oh, we should talk about that. I didn't realize you're leaving so soon. Why don't you remind people if they haven't heard where you're actually living to? Because I'm sure most people know that Johnny's in Kyiv right now in Ukraine, but you're shipping out for at least a month or two.
I think maybe three or four. So I'm going to spend the whole winter in Thailand, partially for the sun, partially to escape the war and the blackouts, and partially just for location arbitrage, which we can be talking about to save some money.
We're going to talk about not only just arbitrage, but inflation. And I want to hear some of your thoughts about what you've seen on travel prices, because I've been looking at holiday travel, Johnny, and it's ridiculous. I've never seen so many four-digit nights at hotels. I'm talking $1,000 plus a night, like on a lot of places I'm looking at. I feel like I'm just going to stay home all holiday season.
See, we live in two different worlds because I was looking and I was like, man, I can't believe how cheap all these places are. This is amazing. There's good deals everywhere to be had.
Definitely not in the United States or even Europe when I've been looking. Or my other option was like even Mexico. Mexico used to be like the go-to cheap spot. Not anymore. So I think I need to take a page out of your book and look at Asia.
Yeah, well, next week I'm going to be moving down to Odessa, which is by the sea, by the ocean in southern Ukraine, just to kind of get closer to my airport that I'm flying out of. Airbnbs are there super cheap. Odessa, first off, it's in Ukraine. So there's no tourists coming. Second, that's a summer destination. All the Airbnbs are discounted. And the third, it's kind of just like a cheap place anyways. And then I'm going to be crossing the border into Moldova, which is Europe's least traveled country, I think even less than Ukraine. I found a place for, you know, $40 a night. And then in Thailand, yeah, we'll get into this, but it's so cheap there. It's almost ridiculous.
So why... I mean, obviously, we know why Ukraine is cheap right now, and it was cheap before the war. But what is the average person missing out, Johnny, on these places? Like, I would never think to go to that before I had met you. I probably would have never went to Ukraine or Moldova or wherever you're going. And a lot of people probably haven't even heard of these spots. So why are they so off the radar and cheap? There's got to be a downside.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest downside would be distance. It's just kind of far from everything. You know, for you to fly to any of these places, not even just now, but even before the war, it was just there weren't that many flights. Americans aren't going to go there. Europeans have kind of better places to go. But then, and secondly, language barriers. You know, traditionally, these places, there was no English spoken. You know, nobody, there's no tourism market. So you're not going to get Germans going there and, you know, not being able to communicate. And they're just, I don't know, like... I mean, to be honest, there's nicer beaches to go to in Europe, which is why everyone would rather go to those places.
And then as far as like your travel hacks, I know we've talked about this. I think you and Sam talked about it pretty deep in the quarterly updates. How are you traveling, and how do you justify, I guess, the extra time to save maybe a few $100s? Because that's something that I'm still trying to wrap around my head too. If you're taking 2 or 3 days to fly somewhere, how are you justifying the extra time to fly?
Yeah, so you know, when I worked a normal 9-to-5 job in the US, I was basically, you know, like most people, you have a very limited amount of vacation days, so they're very, very valuable. So it's not worth it to go anywhere. I like one of my buddies who's gonna meet me on Thailand, he says his American friend wants to come out. He only wants to come out for a week. We both said
such a long flight for a week. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, don't come. Just don't bother coming. It's not worth it. I would say like it's mostly just because people don't have the time to do it. But if you're either location dependent, you know, where you can still work from wherever you are, or if you're living off of investment income or whatever it is, when you're ready your own business, then it doesn't really matter. And to be honest, I don't lose that much productivity. If anything, when I'm sitting in a business lounge, you know, for 3 hours, or sometimes I'll go early, or, you know, purposely book like a 7-hour or 8-hour layover if I know there's going to be a good business class lounge, which I can use with my like priority pass, or, you know, when I back in the day when I used to actually fly business class, I can get a solid day's work done sitting in those lounges. Like it's really productive.
I wish I was that way. And that's one of the reasons I have this office that I'm renting out. I'm paying additional rental on top of my apartment because I can't focus at home. If I go on a flight, I can't focus on the flight. I go to lounges now, which is awesome, but I don't work at them. I can't. I'm really like a product of, I need like the perfect environment around me. So I'm really envious that you can basically just pop open a laptop and work from anywhere, because I can't seem to make it happen. I need like my proper workspace.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like that. I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, I also prefer having a proper workspace here in Ukraine. You know, now that I have a house, I bought a 20, you know, 8-inch 4K monitor. I have a super comfortable chair. I have an espresso machine. It's comfortable. I would rather work from here, to be honest. But I can also, you know, get myself to focus somewhere else. Put on some noise-canceling headphones. One of the tricks I had was I would put on a pair of glasses whenever I wanted to get into work mode.
Why is that?
I don't even wear glasses. But it had like the tiniest prescription on there. And it was just like a mental thing where I'm like, okay, once these are on, I'm working.
It's like deep focus mode.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, to answer your question, like, I'm not, you know, my time's not worth that much money anymore. And like, even if I'm spending 2 or 3 days to get somewhere, like I'm kind of, you know, usually enjoy the process. I'm not going to sit on a bus. Like, I met a guy who literally took a bus from Istanbul through 4 countries to get to Ukraine.
Nope, not doing it.
And I very briefly thought about this because I'm actually, so I originally bought a ticket to fly from Budapest with a stopover in Jeddah, which is Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and then to Bangkok. And that seemed, at the time, that was the best flight.
That doesn't seem horrible.
Yeah, except for getting to Budapest takes takes a long time. It takes like 20 hours on the train. But I was like, at least this is one, you know, it's one train, I can do it. But I found out that transiting through Saudi Arabia is such a pain in the ass. And there's all these like hidden fees. They make you buy insurance and a transit visa.
Even if you're just on a layover?
Yes. Yes. But the problem is it's not for everyone and not for every flight. You know, if you're flying on one of the those like Saudi airlines, then they treat you, you know, they treat you fantastically, right? Like you all see like the Saudi hospitality,
the Emirates
they,
and all that, and yeah.
Yeah. Where they give people, you know, the Rolex off their wrist, or like
Jennifer Aniston is sitting right next to you.
Yeah, they send you a, like a Ferrari, you know. Like that doesn't happen if you're flying Wizz Air and then connecting on a different airline, you know? So I tried to get this visa online, and I literally spent 2 weeks every day emailing back and forth trying to figure out how to get this transit visa. And I just gave up and I said, you know what? My time is worth not much, but it's worth more than this. So I just forfeited the flight. I got like a partial refund, and then I rebooked. And now I'm going from Chisinau, Moldova through Turkey, Istanbul, and then to Thailand. So I briefly thought about just taking the bus directly from Kyiv to Istanbul, but it takes 25 hours.
Oh my God. I would be so crabby. Like, just stay away from me.
Yeah. So I'm going to break up that trip. But what's crazy about all this is the costs of living. I calculated this by me renting out my apartment for $1,600 a month. This will pay for my entire trip and the flights.
So I didn't know you were doing that. Hold up. You're renting out your Kyiv apartment.
Yeah. I actually just got the deposit today. I just signed the paperwork today. She's like a NGO worker, and I was a bit hesitant to rent it out because, you know, it's my home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you got to whore out your girlfriend, you know, you gotta.
Well, unless, I mean, if we're being real, Ukraine's in a war, and there is a possibility it could go at any time. So you might as well take advantage of some income, right?
Yeah, exactly. So she seems like a nice woman. She, you know, she works for like one of these NGOs, and I figured $1,600 a month.
That's great
for my entire flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all my food, because it's super cheap to eat in Thailand. And actually, I'm going to share with you a secret website in a second.
Ooh.
That is the best way to figure out where you should move to. But I think before we get there, we should probably take a quick commercial break.
All right, Johnny, I'm going old school. I got a pen and paper so I can write this down for listeners on the website. So check the notes. Johnny's about to give us a secret travel hack website.
Okay. Well, first, before I reveal it, did you see that photo going around about the $16 Big Mac meal that everybody's getting mad about?
I don't think I have.
So how much do you think it costs for a meal at McDonald's? And what do you remember it costing, like, when you're in college, and what does it cost now?
So when, I guess, like, yeah, college times, you know, $5 would have got you like every value meal on there and probably supersize it on top of that. I think I went to McDonald's maybe 3 years ago, and it was like at least $10 then. So I think if you're talking at 16 now, I don't think that really surprises me. But is that just a regular Big Mac meal?
So yeah, I look, you know, people were like, you know, super pissed off about it, right? People were blaming, you know, corporate greed, people blaming like, we need higher wages. And then the comments went insane. Actually, I commented something kind of snarky. Like, the results of the $16 minimum wage, you know, y'all asked for.
I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, $16. You get a Big Mac, a large fry, and a drink.
I got so many replies. And every time you get a reply, you get like a notification. And it didn't stop for like 5 days. I was just getting replies on this. And I got so tired of it, I ended up just deleting that comment. And everybody's comments just disappeared, which I think is also is kind of a stupid thing, because people spent time like writing these like these long comments. And because me as the original poster deletes my comment, everybody's work goes away. I think that's a...
But there's no context if they're replying to you and you delete your comment.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, I wish I could, like, you know, there needs to be other options, like turn off comments on this post or stop notifying me or whatever it is. But it turns out I dove deep into this. So I was like, there's no way it's actually $16 for a Big Mac meal. First, there was a couple different photos floating around. One, it was for like some, you know, bacon double quarter pounder.
It says,
you know,
double smoky BLT quarter pounder with cheese and a Sprite.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? A lot of those are super expensive, but those are super premium kind of, you know, luxury items at McDonald's that you don't have to buy. Like, you're like, if you can't be satisfied with a Big Mac meal, you know, don't complain, you know? Like, if you can afford the upsell, you know, get the upsell, but that's optional. The original photo actually was a Big Mac meal, but it turns out it was in a really expensive town called Darien, Connecticut or something. And it was at a truck stop, which I didn't know this, but they're significantly more expensive than McDonald's in normal cities.
And then this other one is in Idaho, which is interesting. I don't know the situation there. I know Idaho is like the new hotspot to move to, but I don't feel it's
probably at a truck stop.
So is that like a franchise rule that they can just set their own prices? I don't know how that all works.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, people don't realize that it's capitalism, right? Where if workers have to go out to the middle of nowhere at some truck stop to work, you probably have to pay them more. Or I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe they just can charge more. Maybe it's the rent is higher. Maybe I don't know what it is. But from what I've read, truck stops are always more expensive. Kind of like sometimes gas is really expensive at certain places because they know there's not going to be another gas station for a long time.
Well, not only that, it's also like a product of the neighborhood. My podcast studio is in Malibu, California, which is everyone's a millionaire or billionaire, and gas is $1 more a gallon. It just is what it is. You could drive 5 miles away and get gas somewhere else and save $1 a gallon, which I do but when you're at the position where you just don't care and don't even think about it, these places are taking advantage of that. Same with the restaurants. You know, any restaurant in the neighborhood where I'm at over here is going to cost a lot more because they know people just don't care when you're at a certain level. I was listening to a podcast the other day. This guy was worth like $100 million. He goes, I haven't looked at a restaurant bill in years. I just hand him the card and don't even think about it. So when you're in an area like that, it's not only just inflation when they're saying like inflation has gone up so much or whatever. It's not necessarily the cost that the business has to pay. It's like, what can the market afford and actually take?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, real estate plays a big part of it. You know, in like Malibu and those areas, real estate super expensive. And actually the truck stops, now that I think about it, they probably need to have a lot more real estate for parking because you're not parking cars, you're parking a semi truck. So for every one truck that parks there, they need to make more money.
For sure.
So I checked how much a Big Mac was here. And actually, fun fact, have you ever heard of the Big Mac Index?
Yeah, I think we brought this up before. It's like a measure of how actual inflation is. Like, you just track the Big Mac, right?
Yeah. And for years, actually, I need to look it up now. Let's follow along. But I remember for years, Ukraine was either the cheapest or the second cheapest. Wait, is Taiwan the cheapest? No way. Wow, Taiwan has become the cheapest Big Mac. I guess I know what I'm going to be eating there. Ukraine's still down there. It's still top, bottom 10 with the Philippines, South Africa, Egypt, India, and Indonesia.
So if for those listening, this chart shows that the base price would be the U.S. price. And according to that, Ukraine is 49% cheaper than the United States.
Yeah. So I can say that. I here a Big Mac is $3.33 and the U.S. is probably $5.50.
Which sounds wild to me just for a burger. $5. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like a boomer now. Like, oh, back in my day. But it's happening fast and we're those guys now.
But at the same time, people don't realize this, but things are supposed to go up in price. I mean, inflation should be at least 2% per year. And over 10 or 20 years, you know, you shouldn't feel that, you know?
Maybe we just got lucky for so long because for so many years we just had, you know, low single digits inflation or zero inflation. And then when it just catches up in 1 year, you're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, so look at this chart. Actually, this is a good hack, guys. If you're ever looking to go on vacation or to do location arbitrage, don't go to any of the places that have Big Macs that are more equal or more expensive than the U.S.
Well, let's go over the top five then, I guess, if this chart is accurate. This says you should go to South Africa, Egypt, India, Indonesia, and Taiwan. I was actually looking at going to Egypt, and it was cheap. It was like $20 a night for a nice hotel.
Malaysia's there, Vietnam. But, I mean, this is just for food, right? And actually, on the flip side, the places that are bad value, Switzerland, Norway, for some reason Uruguay is on there, but I think that has something.
They've had some economic things going on, I think, and that's why.
Yeah, and Argentina as well, where like some things stay super expensive while like, but everyone's, you know, broke. Sweden, Denmark's expensive. And funny enough, Sri Lanka and Costa Rica, they're expensive as well. And actually, I remember a lot of these countries where things like local food might be really cheap. When you have a foreign-owned, you know, restaurant or something, it's always expensive because it's always like this import, you know, this luxury thing.
Yeah, like if you go to KFC in Europe, it's like everyone's going there and then it's like trash in the U.S.
Yeah. The Big Mac Index is a nice little glance, but the site I actually wanted to share with you is called Numbeo at numbeo.com.
All right, I'm going there now.
So their best feature, and if anyone wants to kind of follow along, you know, you can put your cost, you know, click on cost of living, and then you do Los Angeles just for your base, and then you can put in another city to compare it against. And I'm here to argue that even if you just move to another city in the U.S., you can end up saving a lot of money.
Okay, pick a city for me, Johnny. I got Los Angeles to compare it to.
Let's do Milwaukee.
Oh, I lived in Milwaukee. I don't recommend it.
You don't like Milwaukee?
I lived there for a year. It was awful. Sorry to anyone in Milwaukee.
When was that?
2010.
Because, you know, I just saw a YouTube video with someone touring Milwaukee, and I was like, oh, they have a great lake, which almost looks like an ocean. They have Trader Joe's. You know, like,
I love how this is your qualifications. The best part about Milwaukee, it was an hour from Chicago. And Chicago is great.
Okay, well,
that's fine. We'll take it. We'll take it. All right.
Yeah, it's an example of like a mid-sized city in the U.S. You know, it could be Nashville. This could be like...
I will tell you, I had a killer house in a cool old like brick house with like multiple fireplaces for $700 a month. And everyone said I was getting ripped off. And I was like, this is an amazing deal. I thought it was an amazing deal, but they said it was expensive.
See? That means it's such a good deal there. And it's beautiful architecture and everything. So, yeah, there's places to be, especially if you can work remotely or if you can, you know, find a local equivalent job there. Actually, the very third thing on the menu on this little breakdown is a meal at McDonald's.
It is,
you realize that McDonald's is cheaper in Milwaukee than it is in LA. 20% cheaper.
Yeah, $9 US in Milwaukee and $11 in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Beer is definitely a lot cheaper. It's 48.8% cheaper. It's like 50% cheaper.
Oh, I know it. I went out the other night. It's the standard price now in LA for a cocktail is $20.
Wow. So for those who can't see this, basically there's a breakdown of categories, restaurants, supermarkets, transportation, utilities, sports and leisure, childcare, clothing, you know, housing. And then there's a breakdown kind of in between them. But just for restaurants and eating out, it looks like LA is between 20 to 50% more expensive. And it definitely is. Like whenever I'm traveling to Texas or, you know, even to like Vegas, it food's way cheaper when you go out.
The one thing we do have that's cheaper in LA, which I guess makes sense, is like produce and things like that. Just because I think it's grown, you know, closer by and doesn't have to travel as far. But everything else, yes, it is a lot cheaper to live in Milwaukee.
Yeah. So it looks like apples, oranges, onions, they're quite a bit more expensive in Milwaukee, like 20 to, wow, like, so oranges is 63% more expensive.
Which makes sense, Milwaukee. You know, if you're driving it 10 miles or 1,000 miles.
Yeah, but everything else, literally like bread, and eggs is a huge difference. A dozen eggs, it's double the price in LA.
That's we have like weird California has like cage-free laws and things like, which is obviously a good thing, but it adds up. You gotta pay for it, pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, I see that. Transportation, this is interesting. A one-way ticket is more expensive in Milwaukee, but if you get a monthly pass, it's way cheaper than the monthly pass in LA.
Well, I'm guessing their transportation actually goes somewhere though too, because LA is worthless.
Yeah. What else we have? Utilities are
gas. You can't skip over gas. $5.30 a gallon in LA, $3.59 in Milwaukee. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Like you would think gas would be the same price everywhere, but in the U.S., but it's not.
Certainly not.
I don't know how mobile phone plans are cheaper in Milwaukee. It's like you would think T-Mobile and like, you know, whatever, Cricket, whatever.
That seems strange. I think they're pretty much the same across the whole country. That one might be inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some local carriers like Cricket or something that isn't in other places. Fitness, like, you know, sports memberships, cheaper. Daycare is cheaper. School is cheaper. And rent? Definitely a lot cheaper.
Well, I can at least say it's not $700 a month in Milwaukee anymore. It's now $1,600. But that's crazy too, though, if you think about it. I was there in 2010, so 13 years, $700. I had a two-bedroom place. And this is saying it's 2.5 times that in 13 years. That's pretty wild.
Well, you know what? Your money should double every 7 years.
Okay, so we're at almost 14 years. So yeah, okay. That's like people
forget that. Like it's one of those things. Like people forget if you have $1,000 making seven percent, you know, which isn't hard to do. Mm-hmm. After 7 years, it should double. Was it 7 or 10%? It's one of those things where like if you're making, you know, if you just put it in the stock market, every 7 years your money should double.
Over time, it's supposed to be every seven. Yeah. Yep.
But actually, I'm taking a look now to see if there are cheaper options. Let's say for under $1,000 in Milwaukee.
It's got
there's a ton of them.
I mean, but there's some sketch neighborhoods in Milwaukee, Johnny.
Yeah. So maybe that's like what do you call it? Like a average, and some places are way more expensive.
Yeah, that seems a little high though. Honestly, even the LA rent looks a little high. But you know,
that's average. What was what's the LA rent say?
$2,600 for a one bedroom in the very nice neighborhoods, like in the beach neighborhoods, like where I am. That's average, I guess. But I wouldn't call that all of LA. But you know, $2,200 somewhere around there probably.
Well, you know what? That they consider that outside the city the city center. So $2,200 right there. Done.
I guess I'm moving to Milwaukee. Get the parkas out.
Yeah, so definitely cheaper, but just for fun, swap out Milwaukee for where I'm going. I'm actually moving to Jompton, which is even cheaper, but you can put in Pattaya because I think that's the closest city they have data for.
Los Angeles, and I'm comparing it to Pattaya, Thailand.
I'm going to send you my exact link so we can relook at the same thing. But it says consumer prices in LA are 125% higher. Including rent is more than 200%, and rent is 500% higher.
Okay.
So look at the first line: meal in expensive restaurant.
640%. Yeah, these numbers make it look even wilder.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was in Thailand last year, so I can vouch for these numbers. I'm like, I actually went through them. Like, yeah, for 120 baht, $3.38, you could definitely get a good meal. You can actually get it for probably half of that if you're eating like really local. A beer, 72 baht, $2. You can get that everywhere in Thailand. You know, cappuccinos, $1.87 versus $5 in the US for cappuccinos. Is that what it costs?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
That's insane.
So yeah, here's, I don't know. Is it kind of cheating that we can make American wages somewhere else?
Absolutely cheating.
So there's been some companies, especially when COVID hit and everything, that, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm moving to Texas, or I'm moving to Mexico, or I'm moving wherever because I can work remotely and still make the same amount of money. Now some of these companies are starting to catch on and go, we're going to pay you commensurate wages to where you're actually living. What do you think about that?
I mean, I can see why companies want to do that. It's because, you know, they're only paying you so much because they know, you know, cost of living are high. They have to kind of factor that in, but they don't actually want to pay that much.
Of course.
So I think if I was a company hiring people, I would say, you know what, if you want the privilege of working remotely, you don't have to take a pay cut. But like, if you're close enough to the office where you can come in, you know, even once a month, like that's a benefit to me as an employer to have you close by and have, you know, have you be able to come to meetings and things like that, then you can get your full wage.
Yeah, like I said, I think everyone's a little different though. Like some companies are doing really well remotely. And like I said, I'm the type of person that needs like the proper environment. So I kind of agree with the hybrid model where you're kind of in the office a couple days a week and then you're working from home a couple days a week. But, you know, if I'm moving to Milwaukee and I said, hey, I got this tech job in LA that pays $200,000 in Milwaukee, I'm like instantly a millionaire. So yeah. I don't know. It's kind of strange though, but at the same time, I'm still doing the same job.
Yeah. So yeah. That's a tough one. I could see, you know, from both employer side and, you know, them wanting to save some money and, you know, them having, you know, some, I don't want to say hardships, but like, you know, it's not as easy, you know, to have people kind of scattered around. Like it is a benefit to you to be able to work wherever you want and then save money. I mean, I know that when companies send you abroad, they do like a cost of living adjustment. So if someone's sending to Thailand, they will pay you less than if they were sending you to Switzerland or something.
I don't agree with that either. It's such an inconvenience. I'm gonna leave my American life, and then you're gonna pay me less to live in a place across the world.
Yeah, but you know, see, that's where capitalism comes in, where you have the option of saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Just like what the people who complain that McDonald's is overpriced now.
You don't have to eat at McDonald's. Yeah.
Like, they will lower their price. I think what happened, and the reason why McDonald's had record profits this year wasn't just because they decided to get greedy. I think they thought they were going to get fucked harder than they did, with global supply chains being messed up. You know, gas prices being high, minimum wages being high, Russia blockading all the grain, you know, hoarding the oil. And they raised prices to kind of combat that. But then when things ended up not being as bad, or things kind of settled down quicker, and, you know, and maybe with also because everyone else raised prices too, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden people started eating at McDonald's more because it was still the cheaper option. I think McDonald's just happened to make record profits that year. I do hope that McDonald's, you know, lowers their prices to kind of adjust for that, but it's hard. I think once people start
they're raising not going prices, to. I think we know the answer to that. So there's a couple things to that. Part of it, I think, is the media just enforcing that inflation was this bad. It was like every headline, inflation, inflation, inflation. And the more you talk about inflation, the more real it is. And you would go somewhere and they go, well, I don't know, like the local coffee shop I usually go to, they've raised the prices 3 times, I think, in the last 6 months. And they just say inflation. And then you just accept it and you go, well, I've been hearing about inflation, so it must be a real thing. But then you take someone like a McDonald's, they're a market maker. What is the stat about how many eggs they use or whatever? If you're doing contracts with McDonald's, they'll say, we'll take our business elsewhere if you don't take the price we're going to pay. And you're not going to say no to a McDonald's contract.
Yeah. And, you know, the bad part about people freaking out about inflation is there's an economic term called the wage price spiral. And it's exactly how it sounds. Like, the more people worry about inflation, the more they ask for higher wages, or they kind of expect a higher minimum wage or higher wage in general. But then when you pay people more, you have to market prices for whatever you're selling. And then just
when you're being fed this all day that everything's super expensive, like, how many people went to their bosses and said, I need a raise? Have you heard all this inflation talk that I'm hearing about nonstop?
Yeah. And that trickles down everywhere. So, for example, like McDonald's, as just an example, them raising their prices to $16 an hour, $15 an hour, absolutely makes things more expensive. Mm. But even if a specific location or specific state didn't raise it, prices like still went up because delivery drivers were getting paid more. People who were loading, you know, the ships or, you know, picking the produce, kind of like the whole supply chain, everybody wanted more money.
Yeah.
So then prices go up to the consumer, and people don't realize that when people get paid more, everything costs more, and you end up not getting anything like an actual true benefit anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's bring that out to like Thailand then. Why is it so cheap? Is it still just as cheap, do you feel, as it was 5-10 years ago? Because if you look at the United States, you definitely can be like, wow, it is way more expensive. I know obviously the Thailand prices, even in comparison, still are really cheap, but do you feel that it's trended as upward as the rest of the world?
So yes and no. And this is where kind of the arbitrage comes in. So certain cities, Phuket, Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, like these beautiful islands, they're super expensive now because all the Russians are there. All the Russians that have money are there, and they've driven up the prices 3 times. So an apartment that used to cost $600 a month now cost, you know, $1,500 or something, or $2,000 a month. The price has just gone up a lot. And when housing goes up, it brings up the pricing of everything else. So that's a big reason why I'm not going to these islands or go to Phuket, because it's overpriced, and it's run, you know, it's filled with these, you know, rich Russian guys that, you know, they're just going to piss me off.
Yeah, no comment.
Yeah. Ironically, Chiang Mai and this kind of beach town, Jomtin, kind of Pattaya area, prices haven't gone up at all because they lost a lot of their tourism during COVID, and it's never really fully recovered. The only people that go to these kind of second tier cities or third tier cities are people who don't have that much money. So like a lot of students move there, or, you know, when you do get Russians, you get the kind of the poorer families that just like want to live by the beach, but they want somewhere cheap. So they're, you know, bargain hunting. And people like me, where I'm like, you know what? I don't need the best beach in the world. I'll probably fly to a nicer island to go scuba diving for a few days or a week. But, you know, most days I'm happy just like walking, you know, along the beach and looking at it, and not, you know, necessarily swimming in like crystal clear water. You know, I'm just like, it's there. It's you know, I still feel a breeze, still get, you know, 80% of the benefits of having a beach, but it's not the best beach.
Yeah. I always kind of thought, I was like, well, if you're in somewhere so cheap anyways, you're probably stacking up so much money that you can just travel that much more often to the places you really want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you kind of feel like you're running out of spots though? You had a lot more options before. Does it seem like the world is just getting smaller for cheap spots?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, as long as there's like one or two, I'm okay with it.
As long as there's one spot for Johnny.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing is, a lot of people don't realize this, that the hot spots are always being created.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why housing is so expensive now, like, you know, when people complain about how unaffordable it is to buy a house, you know, or you know, especially compared to like their parents' generation,
mm-hmm.
a couple of things they don't consider is, you know, 40 years ago or whatever it is, like your 100 grand should be worth 400 grand now. Like if you had that money in the market, it would be that much more expensive. But secondly, a lot of those places that our parents bought houses at, they weren't very nice when they bought it.
There's a future episode coming out that, Johnny, that you did with George Camel that'll come out in January. And he said the same exact thing. He's like, people are glorifying where people used to live. You know, a $10,000 house in the 60s is not a house you would want to live in today.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of those areas are pieces of crap. Like, okay, if you compare the cost of a apartment, let's say, in Manhattan now, which is really expensive,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, 30 years ago, you're like, yeah, but the 90s was so cheap. New York was a piece of crap. Yeah, in the 90s.
Exactly. They talk about it all the time, how terrible it was.
Like, nobody wanted to live there. That's why it was so cheap. And I guarantee you that there's some cities right now, like Milwaukee, that are not very desirable, but in 30, 40 years, they're going to be really nice. Mm-hmm. And then people are going to be like, oh man, like Milwaukee used to be so cheap.
Yeah. I think people just glorify the past a lot. And when you really think about it, we're living in the best time. And this is an episode that Sam and I are about to do soon too of iLab, that things are a lot better than it seems. I think we're just absorbed with so much negativity all the time.
Yeah. And so easy to compare. And also, I think people, we just have higher expectations now. Like every single person thinks that they deserve to live in some, like, I remember there's a girl on TikTok who was trending because she was complaining how expensive apartments were in, you know, her city. And she's showing examples of apartments that have swimming pools, built-in gyms, concierge. I'm like what, like, yes, they're expensive.
Yeah. Well, think about this. When we were kids, could you imagine having a giant TV hang on the wall that was as big as a movie theater screen, a car that is like amazingly nice with air conditioning, like CarPlay and everything. I mean, even when we were kids, like, there's a chance your car wouldn't even start. Now that doesn't even cross your mind anymore.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, but I do feel like there's deals to be had in different places, and there are places that are going to be up and coming. I remember somebody asking me 10 years ago, they're like, what if your favorite island in Thailand becomes overrun with tourists and gets expensive? And I remember saying, by then, there's going to be some other island I never even heard of that's going to start being cool and nice and have enough infrastructure for that to be the new one. You know, it might be Koh Rong in Cambodia or something, you know, or some Thai island that, you know, Koh Lan or something that I'd never been to before, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh, now it's a cool place. Or Jomtin, right? Like, I just sent you a link to one of the condos that I booked. So imagine how much this would cost in a prime, you know, destination like Hawaii or something, right?
Yeah, this looks pretty nice. I mean, yeah, this is $200 to $300 a night anywhere in the US.
Yeah. So I basically booked it, you know, basically for 2 months. But if you put, you know, April 1st to 30th or something, you can see how much it costs per month after the discount.
Okay, we'll go April 1st, 2024.
And make sure you include the cleaning fee and the Airbnb fee.
So for the entire month, oh my, well, first of all, you get a giant discount for staying the whole month. You get like 60% off for staying for the whole month. $288, including fees and everything. All right, Johnny, I'm going to meet you in Thailand.
You should. You're invited. Me and Sam talked about it. How insane is that?
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, and the only thing it doesn't include is they bill you separately for electricity just because they don't know how much AC you're going to use. But
yeah, that's fine.
It's like, come on, $288. And, you know, this place, like, if you, I mean, just imagine, you know, a beautiful place, nicely furnished with a swimming pool, like right on the, like, you're like a block from the beach. Come on.
Yeah, that's insane. That's, I mean, that's one night at a 3-star hotel in LA if you're lucky. And you're getting 30 days at this place that looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, so this is why I'm spending the whole summer, I mean, the whole winter in Thailand. This is why I'm a big believer in location arbitrage. And honestly, this is something every single person listening can do, because you can rent out your home or your apartment, you know, as a sublet, you know, and whatever you're making from that, I guarantee you it's more than enough to pay for your flight and your cost of living and your food and your hotel at one, like a place like mine.
Yeah, if you're earning McDonald's wages in the US, you can afford this. So
if you can afford to eat at McDonald's in the US, you can afford this.
There you go. Well, if anyone else has their travel hacks in like hot new spots that like Johnny has found, you should definitely let us know in the Boss Lounge or even over on Patreon. You can check that out. You can go to investlikeaboss.com, click become a Patreon. It's just $5 a month. And we have tons of posts on there. At least like once a week, we're posting something on there. You can get access to our portfolios and even more. And we got a lot of cool guests coming up. You can ask them questions as well. So do that and let us know where you found in the world that is the new next Pattaya that Johnny's found.
You know what? Only for the people on the Patreon, but it's actually not Pattaya. It's the next city over, but yeah. Oh,
close enough.
Close enough. But also in the Boss Lounge, I'm going to do meetups there. So me and Sam have been talking about it. I don't know if it's going to be maybe in February or something, but we're going to do like a proper kind of co-work, co-live place down there. So Derek, if you want to come out, I think it'd be fun.
I think you might have convinced me. We're going to have to talk after this episode.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you just sublet your place?
I have an iron fist landlord. I'm telling you, like the first day I'd have like eviction papers written up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the hard part, you know, but like someone could dream.
But I'm sure we'll work it out. I think even at that prices, I can afford to keep the LA places going and get a place in Thailand.
Yeah. All right. Good talking to you, Derek. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you share this with someone who is dreaming about, you know, going on vacation somewhere cheap, or someone who's complaining all day about how expensive everything is.
Yes. Safe travels, Johnny. We will be taking next week off. It is Thanksgiving in the US, but we'll see everyone back here in December.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and Derek as well.
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.